Good morning. Here in North Carolina, it's supposed to get pretty cold tonight. The wind chill factor is -5 and -10. So you don't want to get caught out in it. I plan on staying warm and toasty. All right, let's continue our study of The Master Speaks. And the allness of God. He's going to give us the difference between prayer and treatment, which is important to know. There was a little bit of discussion online about this. I hope after this chapter you have a thorough understanding. So he says, Joel says, we shall go on now to another point in which there is a lack of agreement, perhaps not disagreement, but in which there is a difference in language and a difference in application. In the infinite way, prayer and treatment are not the same thing. Treatment is not a synonym for prayer, and prayer is not a synonym for treatment. In this teaching, treatment is the truth that you and I know, the truth that we think or declare or affirm, in contradistinction to the error that is appearing. Now, I can remember Joel saying, treatment is that part of the meditation where we rehearse within ourselves statements of truth or scripture or new realizations we've had, and we rehearse these within ourselves. Now, lots of people stop there and figure that they've had their meditation. But meditation is not complete until we open the door and sit in silence until, well, I'll read it. In this teaching, treatment is the truth that you and I know. In other words, when I say that God is the law and the reality of my being, that God is my life, my soul, when I say that God, the life which is God, is the eternality and immortality of my being, when I say that Christ is the law unto my being, and there is not a material law to act upon me, when I declare or affirm my oneness with God, when I declare or affirm the nothingness, the non-reality of any form of error, that is treatment. In some metaphysical teachings, this would be considered prayer, but not in the infinite way. In the infinite way, affirmations and denials have not been entirely eliminated. We do not do away completely with affirmations and denials, but we do not think of them as prayer. They are treatment, a statement or restatement of truth within our own thought. And the purpose of the treatment is to remind ourselves of the truth of being, thereby lifting ourselves to that place where prayer can take place. Prayer is the Word of God which comes to us. Prayer is not something we do. And there you have it right there. Treatment is what you do. Prayer is what God does. And so I wrote here, only God prays. We can treat. We can lift ourselves. We can find the center of our being and find peace. But then we have to be still. We have to be consciously aware of what God imparts. God imparts its prayer. And so only God can pray. Prayer is not a voicing of anything for God to hear. Prayer is not a position or petition, nor is it an affirmation. Prayer is really the Word of God coming to us. It is the peace, be still, that is voiced within our consciousness. It is an assurance that comes to us within, which says, be still and know that I am God. I am on the field. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. All right, so treatment is everything you remember and rehearse within yourself to bring yourself to that place of silence, an absence of self. No one is trying to do anything. You just remain receptive. And in that receptivity, God prays. So the power is not in your statement or restatement of truth. The power is in the prayer, the impartation from God. When a practitioner or a teacher says to you, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, that is treatment, not prayer. You are being reminded of some truth, the purpose of which is to bring about a certain stillness in your thought, a certain quietness, and an ability to be receptive, so that you may hear within you a voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. But when you hear this voice within your own being, and when I say hear, I do not necessarily mean audibly hear. I mean hear in the sense of becoming aware of, sensing, feeling, or becoming conscious of. That is the word. All right, so you sit down to meditate. Maybe somebody's asked you for help. Maybe you just want a meditation. So you sit down to meditate, you close your eyes, and you rehearse the truth that you know. And when you get done with that, you rest back in the stillness and wait upon the Lord. And then there's the conscious awareness of the presence. That's what he means by hearing. You have the conscious sensing of the presence, feeling of the presence. That's where the power is, folks. Right there. Because it's spiritual power. It's God uttering its prayer. If you become aware of something stirring within you, if you become aware of a sense of peace descending upon you, That is prayer. That is the word coming to your consciousness. That is communion. Prayer or communion is the relationship existing between God the Father and God the Son. It is the relationship between the universal infinite being and you. It is infinite, yet individualized in expression. This is the relationship which makes it possible for you to hear and receive divine guidance, divine healing, divine direction, divine protection, or whatever it is that is necessary in your experience. So is that clear now? You can't pray. You can treat. And the purpose for treatment is to lift yourself into the stillness, the silence, into receptivity to God. And then you wait there. You don't do anything. You just are still. Speak, Father, thy servant heareth, and then you watch, you wait, you listen, you're receptive. And something comes to you. It may come to you in a statement of truth. It may come to you in a feeling of the presence. It may come to you in an infinite number of ways. God is infinite. Don't try to funnel him into an already conceived idea. Now, sometimes you don't feel anything. However, you've opened the door. And because you've opened the door, you will receive what the Father imparts, even if you don't feel anything. Okay, you get it? The difference between treatment and prayer? We really shouldn't have any more discussion on this, because it's plain. It's simple. All right. Joel says, I know from my own experience that healing takes place for my patient when something within me says, all is well. I am on the field. Or do not worry, I am there too. To the master it came as, I can of mine own self do nothing. And of course, he relaxed. In other words, even though the Father and I are one, this part of me that appears to the world as a human being is not really the presence and power of God. The presence and power of God is that which is invisible to your eyes, but very, very visible and audible to your spiritual senses. When I am still, when I am quiet, when I am receptive, this assurance comes to me. Sometimes it comes in words, sometimes in quotations, sometimes in original thoughts, sometimes just in a feeling of well-being. And then I know that all is well with those who have called on me for help. Emerson called it the oversoul. It is really omnipresence, the very infinite presence and power of God consciously realized. Yes, God is omnipresent. God is always present. but it is our conscious realization of this that does the work. Okay, so you can repeat to yourself, God is omnipresent. God is all presence. God is the only presence. But that's still just a treatment. If that leads you to the inner silence, then you're able to stand still. And in that stillness, when the assurance comes to you that God is on the field, when it is a conscious realization, a feeling, a discerning of the presence and not just a thinking of it, when you have that discernment, there in your conscious realization is the power of God. So again, God is omnipresent. God is always present. But it is that conscious realization of this that does the work. It is not simply the fact that God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent on every battlefield in the world. Right where men are being killed. That God is omnipresent, that God was in reality on the battlefield, did not help those needing help. No. It takes conscious realization, conscious awareness of the presence of God in order to make God available in whatever need there may be. Never think for a minute that there is a place in the world that is not filled with the presence of God. But never think for a moment that that is going to be of much help to you. Except in proportion to your conscious awareness of that truth. It is conscious awareness that is prayer. All right, so if you're thinking, God is omnipresent, there's no place where God is not present. God is present everywhere. And God is present every when. So, what do I have to do to experience that God? Of course, the first thing is I have to turn off the senses, the sense mind, a personal sense of life. When you have stood or rested back out of a personal sense of self, then into your awareness comes the I, the omnipresence, and you catch a glimpse of it, or you feel the entire presence. You know you're only feeling a little bit of it, but you know it's omnipresence. And that conscious awareness and that stillness in which God is imparting itself to you as a feeling of the presence, this is the word of God, which is quick and sharp and powerful. So it takes conscious awareness. It is conscious awareness that is prayer. Praying and repeating the 23rd Psalm or the 91st Psalm or voicing all the metaphysical truths you know, such as I am rich and I know it, I am well and I know it, will not do the work. Some of you know what could be happening to you at the very moment you are making these statements. Repeating words does not do the work. It may lift your thought to that place where the work can take place, to that place where you have a conscious realization of the presence of God. And so right here is a point of demarcation between this and much of the metaphysical work in the world. The infinite way is an unfoldment which says that you and I, as well as Jesus, Moses, Elijah, must have a conscious realization of the presence of God. It is not going to do us any good to walk around saying, God is love and God is present. God is love and God is present. It is not going to do us any good unless and until we actually feel that presence of God. Unless we can lift ourselves to a state of consciousness in which God becomes tangible and visible and evident in our own experience. It is all in the realm of treatment and not yet prayer. Treatment is correct in its place. And all of you who are familiar with my writings know that a considerable amount of space is given to the subject of treatment. I am very thorough in the teaching of treatment because I believe that at a certain stages of our experience, it is not only necessary to treat, but that treatment forms the very foundation of our understanding of truth. At least it is the letter of truth upon which we may build the structure of spiritual understanding. I hope you see the difference. So many of us stop because we've memorized scripture or statements of truth, and so we utter them within ourselves and we sit there for a minute and then we get up and nothing happens. Because you haven't taken the second step. The second step is where you're done with your treatment and you release everything. You release it. You stand still. The stillness I equate with the stillness that happens as the first few snowflakes are falling. It's very quiet out. Nobody's traveling much on the roads. And you can feel that stillness, that softness. Now, if into that comes a wonderful feeling of the presence, God has just prayed. And now you know God is on the field. This is so important that you understand the difference, and even more important that you practice this. To know the correct letter of truth is a good foundation for the revelation, unfoldment, and spiritual discernment of truth, the spiritual consciousness of truth, or the spiritual awareness of truth. So important that you get this. Naturally, after a while, you will have no more need for treatment than you have use for stating or repeating the multiplication tables. When you have occasion to know the product of 12 times 12, 144 comes to thought immediately, without conscious effort. All right, now I will tell you this. You have no more need for treatment, except occasionally, when you are able to take a deep breath, let it out, and step into your closet, totally receptive. You close your eyes and there's a conscious awareness of the presence. That's when you no longer need treatment, at least not very often. But for now, because of where we are on this path, we need treatment. And then we need to follow it with conscious awareness. He says, no matter how much you learn of treatment in any metaphysical work, no matter how perfect you become in stating the truth as it is found in the Infinite Way writings, please do not have too much faith in it, or you may stumble and fall. It is not the statement of truth that does the work. It is the inner awareness of truth. It is not how much you can declare God, affirm God, or petition God. It is not how many statements of truth you know. On the contrary, it is much better for a student to use two or three statements as reminders of truth and meditate on them, ponder them, then rest and let God do the work. Let spiritual consciousness unfold. Yes, let God pray within you. Now, I know that many of you will agree with this, and then you'll go on about your business, and then next week you'll hear another talk, and the next week another, and so on and so forth, always moving from one talk to the other, missing one very important thing, and that is the Christ. Joel one time talked to a group of Jewish people and told them, the only thing you're missing is Christ, which means the only thing you're missing is the conscious realization, the conscious awareness. Do you get that now? Do you understand it clearly? So no matter how perfect is your understanding of truth and statements of truth and scripture, all of that understanding is in the brain, in the intellect. And anything coming from the intellect is not prayer, because only God prays. All right, so the letter of truth emanates from your intellect. But the intellect has no power. Thoughts are not power, no matter how spiritual. Now, the power is in that moment of silence when God prays within you, and you hear it, or you feel it, you know it. You feel the presence of God, the living God. I hope you get this. I hope you understand this, because there are many people saying, I am with you. When someone asks for help, but that's not true. Is the I of you with them? Is God praying within you with them? Is it only you? If it's only you and only the letter of truth and only statements of truth and only treatment, then that is what you're giving them, treatment. And again, treatment has no power. Thoughts do not have power, not for good, not for evil. Ah, but when you are silent, and when you feel that presence, not just feeling a little peace of mind because you've stopped talking, no, feeling the living God, as it says to you, I am here. Then, yes, I within you, God within you, is with them because of omnipresence. It is not the statement of truth that does the work. It is the inner awareness of truth. And so it's not the statement or the thought, God is omnipresence. No, when those statements and thoughts come to an end, and you've reached a point of silence, into that silence God will move all by itself without any help from you. And that is the power. Your conscious awareness, feeling that presence as it descends upon you, that is the power. And so all this repeating of statements of truth is self-hypnosis, auto-suggestion. No one ever has to use force or power in this work. We should add one word in there. No one ever has to use personal force or personal power in this work. Nothing is more true than that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by physical might, not by mental power, but by my spirit. You see, you don't have to push anything. You don't have to know statements of truth over and over and over in order to auto-suggest yourself into a semi-state of peace. The purpose for treatment is to reach that level of consciousness where God prays within you. And that is what is meant by my spirit. Regardless of how much you may declare that I and the Father are one, it does not have any real power unless you know what the Father is, and unless you know who I am. And so two things must be known. Who am I, and what is God? Ultimately, in the end, you will know that they are one. Now don't use this and go out and declare within yourself, I and God are one, because it says it on page 191. I and God are one. I and God are one. See, the best you'll get there is a little peace of mind because you've kind of hypnotized yourself. But that won't bring the power of God until we have realized and reached that point. Let us not accept blindly some statement about God or about ourselves. That word, I, contains the entire secret of Hebrew scripture. That word, I, contains the entire secret of the ancient Hindu scripture. That word I contains the secret of the Master's revelation. Only through this understanding of the word I can you understand that I and the Father are one, or I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, there's a wrong word there. Only through this understanding. Yes, you can sit down and take a test, maybe even an essay test, and you could define clearly that I and the Father are one. But again, this is emanating from the mind, from the intellect, and it has no power. So the word understanding is going to confuse you, because you can understand I and my Father are one and not have the experience of the presence, because you have never opened your consciousness. Maybe you don't know how to open your consciousness. Maybe you don't know how to pray. And the answer to that is, you don't pray. You will never pray. Only God can pray within you. And so your work is to lift yourself to where you can hear that prayer, or where you can feel that presence. It comes in a feeling, not in a thought. So rather than understanding, let's use the word conscious awareness. Two words. Only through the conscious awareness of the word I can you understand that I and my Father are one. Without that conscious realization, what good would any treatment be? What good would any treatment be that did not embrace within itself the wisdom of truth? It is assumed that a treatment is the embodiment of truth, or expression of truth. Unless we know the truth about the I, and unless we know the truth about the Father, unless we know the truth about body, a treatment is not really worth the time it takes to give it. Even a mental treatment, even a statement of truth, must be literally true to be even a little bit effective. And in order to lead to the consciousness of truth, the conscious awareness of truth, a treatment must be a declaration of truth. So we have the letter of truth, that which you know, that which you speak within yourself. And we have the spirit of truth, that which God reveals within you. Please, please try to get this. It's not what you know with your mind. It's what you hear with your spiritual discernment once you've created the silence within you. And not really created, but I know some of you have stumbled into this accidentally. And maybe 5 or 10 years ago you had a wonderful experience in which you felt the presence everywhere. And since then you've been repeating statements of truth and have never felt that presence like that again. Sometimes, too, we become afraid. We feel the presence and it's so overpowering. It's wonderful, but it kind of scares us. What if I dissolve completely? Where will I be? We don't voice that, but it's a feeling. So we become afraid to feel that presence. All of this doesn't matter, because if you can forget all that, forget the past, this is a brand new day. My work is to remember or rehearse statements of truth until I've, well, as Joel said, until I've come to the end of any more thoughts on truth. When I've come to the end of that, I'm in a very good place to be still and know. You see, you don't know. It doesn't say think and know. It says be still and know. It's really quite amazing. Okay. To continue, the deep things of God revealed through meditation. We now come to the subject of meditation. If you follow along the path of the infinite way, you will learn a great deal about meditation and its practice. Without it, you are merely living as a human being, and as such, you are subject to all of the conditions of humanhood, just as is every other human being in the world. Now, I woke up this morning, and after my coffee, I looked at the news on my phone, and everywhere there were killings and shootings. Down in Australia, here at the university in the United States, everywhere there were shootings going on and people being killed. Now, this says here, you are subject, living as a human being, to all the conditions of humanhood, just as is every other human being in the world. So you're subject to being in a gathering and being shot. If you're living just as a human being. When, however, you develop the ability to meditate, to open your consciousness to the inflow of spirit, then you have the conscious awareness of the presence of spirit, of God, of life, truth and love with you from morning until night and from night until morning. It is this conscious awareness that is your safety and your security. And therefore, he tells us, before we go anywhere in the morning, we should have a meditation. The statement of truth we can know is that God is just as much on the other side of this door as he is here. God is omnipresent. God is omnipresence. And then stand still within your being. Here I am. Send me. Here I am. Father, speak. Here I am. Father, be this day. And of course, we know from other people's accounts, such as on 9/11, when they brought down the trade towers, people who were scheduled to be at work had some other situation that stopped them from being there. Maybe they prayed or meditated and heard the assurance, I am there, I am with you. But that's God uttering it, not you. All right. These people didn't go to work because one of them had a flat tire, and one of them couldn't get the car to work, had to have it towed. One of them had something else, and all of them, those few we're discussing, did not go to work, and hence they survived. Something steered them away. Now, God doesn't pick and choose. It's not God doing this. It's you and your willingness and your conscious realization and your silence and your receptivity. It's you that's receptive. It's God that does the work. Anyone that creates a moment of receptivity will feel the divine presence. And so he says, this conscious awareness is your safety and your security. It's not what you know, it's what you discern. Knowing is with the mind. Discerning is with the spirit. God is infinite good, but this good is experienced only through the conscious awareness of the presence and power of God. Therefore, as we follow the instruction in the infinite way on meditation, we shall find that from waking in the morning until retiring at night, never for a moment do we leave God out of our consciousness. All right, now how do you, from morning to night, night to morning, have God in your consciousness? Well, you've got to create room. You've got to open the door. You've got to become receptive to the spiritual universe, the spiritual presence. So he coaches us to have 12 to 30 meditations a day and night, but only for 2 minutes. So we go within. God is on the field. I and my Father are one. Closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet, is the living presence of God. And in this stillness, the presence of God, the Spirit, my Spirit, makes itself known. It discloses itself to us. Once in a while I have a statement of truth that comes to me that I didn't realize before it came, because thinking it is not the same as realizing it. Thinking it is not feeling it. Thinking it is not the conscious awareness of it. We make God the very center of our consciousness, the very activity of our consciousness. When we do that, something happens to most of us. All right, so these 2 minute to 3 minute meditations throughout the day, a longer one if you have the opportunity at lunch or after dinner or before bed, this is opening your consciousness. This is teaching your consciousness to remain open. So that has happened to me. You may receive the word in the middle of the night, meditate, and it wakes you up. What? What was meditate? And so you get up and you go sit on the couch and you close your eyes to meditate, and whammo, something comes to you. You know it's from God. You know it's not from you. It has power. It has presence. It has depth. It has life. Very few of us who have been in this work any length of time are permitted to sleep a whole night through. Somehow we are awakened with another reminder of God's presence and power. And it is that reminder in the middle of the night that often proves a benediction to our friends and family and patients. Since in that stillness and quietness of the night, it is easier to receive this conscious awareness of divine presence and divine power. Naturally, that blesses all those who are a part of our consciousness. As we fill our thought, our consciousness, with this realization of God, an extraordinary thing happens to us. A greater sense of quietness descends upon us, a greater sense of peace. With the conscious awareness of God's presence, we have a confidence that all is well, and we know why. We cannot escape from God once we have made God the reality of our being. That makes it possible for the deeper meditation. And it is in this deeper meditation that we really learn the deep things of God. There are deep things of God to be known, and these deep things of God are shown forth in our experience. For example, we were not born to be only businessmen and housewives. We were all born for a spiritual purpose, to perform a spiritual function, to be some part of God's plan. In the degree, however, that we are attached to the human world, we are not about our Father's business. And that is one of the reasons we are in this work, to get back to the Father's house, instead of living this prodigal experience, instead of earning our living by the sweat of our brow, one of these days we shall return to the Father's house and the Father consciousness, and there we will find a jeweled ring and a purple robe. We will find that we have nothing to do but bask in the Father's love. Yes, we will find that the Father's love becomes our very experience. Okay, I believe that completes that chapter. I don't feel like I can add anything to it. So let us agree to practice this spiritual treatment, knowing the letter, spiritual awareness, feeling the presence. If you get this, really get it, you will become a practitioner, and everyone who turns to you for help will receive God's prayer. Okay, let's see. I am going to take the next 2 weeks off, the next 2 weekends, and I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. Christmas, I'm thinking of Hanukkah. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah. Thank you for this gift of this talk. It all revolves around your consciousness and mine. Mine to impart itself and yours to be receptive. And your receptivity determines the talk and my receptivity of listening. So thank you so, so much. And I'm going to sign off now. Oh yeah, I know what I wanted to say. Thank you very much for your donations this year. They've really helped. Like everyone else, I have bills too, particularly in the winter, where my electric bill can sometimes be, well, now they've raised it. It used to be $350. Now it's courting with $500 a month. Ah, yes, but God will provide, and God has provided, thanks to you this year, or thanks through you this year. And so I wanted to thank you for that. I may make a talk next week and take the next 2 weeks off, Christmas and New Year's. We'll see. God bless you. God blesses everyone. Thank you.